Right, that's enough of that. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to ABW Radio. That introduction was brought to you by Jason Davies. If you can't fit four fingers, you ain't in his book. Good afternoon, everybody. It is time for us to have a little chat about the Arsenal. We are ABW Radio. We don't shout, we don't make a fuss, just to make you follow us. My name is Chris, and I've got with me two gentlemen this afternoon. That amused you, didn't it? Good afternoon, Carl.
It did, actually. What's going on, Chris? You all right?
I'm good, mate. It's been a while, isn't it? It's been a while.
It has. I think you've had your quota of black people anymore, so you don't want me anymore, but it's fine. I understand. I'll stay in the corner.
What's your name, Raj? Jesus. And I've also got Ellis with me. Double duty, Ellis. How are you?
Hello, I'm all right. Sorry for everyone that has to listen to me again. I do apologise, but what are you going to do?
It's all right, mate. At the end of the day, you know, when we're in need of scraping that barrel, you're always there, and that's what's important. So it's
I am.
you're both very welcome, as usual. So let's get into it then. A come-from-behind victory. We've got, what have we gone? 5-1, 4-1, 3-1. So you know what the score will be next week, don't you, boys and girls? 3-1 victory over Stoke City today, and we are top of the league, which is rather nice. Let's get some initial thoughts then. Carl, what did you reckon?
Stoke are one of the teams that I love to beat. I mean, for me, the list goes the Scum, Man United, Chelsea, then Stoke. I just don't like them. I've never liked them ever since they used to just leave their foot in all the time and try and they'd rather hurt us rather than try and beat us, and I've hated them ever since then. So any win over Stoke is for me a brilliant win. We had to do the hard way, kind of come from behind. But at the end of the day, I don't really care how we get the win, just as long as it's a win. I'm not interested in pretty wins or even like 6-7-0 wins. And then, I mean, it's good that we won 3-1 because I predicted that in the league, in our little league. So I'm happy about that. But apart from that, a win against Stoke is a brilliant win because I just hate that team.
Yeah, I went 1-0, so I got that wrong, didn't I? I did get Walcott's scorer right, but just not first, so, meh. Hey-ho. Well done, you. That's more points that I don't get today. Damn it. Although we all know Danny's fixed it for him to win anyway, so it's kind of irrelevant, really. Ellis, what was your overall thoughts then? Pleased with the 3 points or concerned that we were outplayed for 20 minutes? Where do you sit?
Pretty pleased. I think before the start of the game, I was feeling quite confident. I know we do have like some poor results against Stoke in the past, but usually at home we normally beat them at least. So I was pretty confident going into the game. I think obviously as it progressed, the penalty, Mustafi going off injured, we'll probably talk about this a bit later, but you started to get that horrible sinking feeling in your stomach when that all started to happen. But credit to the lads, their heads didn't drop and they come from one goal behind to win 3-1. So yeah, happy with the 3 points. I think it's understandable that sometimes you'll have like a slight dip when you play after having caught a good game in the Champions League. It tends to happen, and against a team like Stoke, who actually are doing quite well in the season, it's quite a good result at the end of the day. So yeah, pleased with the 3 points, and we keep on getting the 3 points at the moment, which is good.
Keep on keeping on, as the old saying goes. Yeah, absolutely. And both very good points made earlier on. Well, obviously, we'll go through the game in a second. Afternoon to everybody in our chat room. I notice John Shipbeard's there. Hello, John Shipbeard. Everything, Rude, everything. Our good friend Bavia. Hello, Air Bavia. Akshay's there. Akshay, we're going to be having back on again soon. Stefan's there. Lots of new people as well. So welcome to you all. As usual, if you like what we do, just click the little thumbs up-a-roo. That would be lovely. Thank you very much. Right, let's go into the game in a little bit more depth then. Carl, well, we have to cover the lineup. We do every week, don't we? So what did you reckon to the lineup? Any surprises? Anybody you didn't want to see in there? Oh, I suppose it's harsh, but were you surprised by anybody in that lineup?
No, I thought the lineup would be exactly what it is. I think what we most talk about is the midfield too. that's kind of our almost our Achilles heel in the team, because I think if we get that right, then we can pretty much win nearly any game that we play against. I don't think anybody was aware that Aaron Ramsey had a hamstring injury. Apparently it's a small hamstring injury, but we know with Arsenal, a small hamstring injury equals about 2-3 weeks up. So don't expect to see him anytime soon. But I think the midfield pairing of Xhaka and Coquelin was probably the right one. Just because I think with Stoke, they're quite a big team. So we needed quite a solid midfield. Someone who could sort of handle the heavy tackles that were probably going to come from Stoke. I know they're a different team to what they used to be, a different Stoke to what Pulis was, but at the end of the day, they still got that they're big boys in there. So they do tend to sometimes, I think, leave the foot in. And I think the team that we picked today was the team that I personally would have started. Ox on the left wasn't a surprise to me. I thought he would come in just to freshen up things a little bit, just because you don't want to overplay players. I know we talk about Alexis overplaying, but when someone's in form like that, you can't really drop him. And this is a league game, and we're going for the league. And I think we're going for the league really hard this season. So I don't think there was that many surprises. The right-back situation kind of picked itself. But at the same time, I'm always in a mind frame of, if you're on the bench and you're fit enough to start, like with today, you're fit enough to start, you should start. And our first choice right back was on the bench. So I tend to think, why didn't he start? Because as of today, when we got the injury, he had to come on. So if you can play your strongest team, then go and play your strongest team.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it, to judge. I think I know why managers do it. I suppose it's the reintroduction to the match day situation and the availability, but I know what you mean. Hopefully, it seems like Hector got through today without any issues, so that's good news. Ellis, were you surprised that Lucas Perez was not in the starting lineup today? I personally wasn't, even though he got a hat-trick in midweek. Was it a little surprise for you that Ox got the nod?
No, not really. I think we had this discussion on the previous radio show. I think both you and me are quite of the same opinion that we think he's not quite ready maybe to start games, but as like an impact or as a sub in the he'll be good in the Premier League, maybe playing obviously starting games in the cups and stuff and getting a run out like he did midweek. But no, I wasn't really surprised to see him. I know he got a hat trick, but I think the Ox is probably a better option with the players we had on the pitch, and I wasn't really surprised by the lineup. I think obviously that there's a lot of debate going on what the best sort of midfield partnership is, but for this Christmas period, I think we'll see a lot of Xhaka and Coquelin in the Premier League. But obviously, we'll probably come speak a bit more about that a bit later.
You heard it here first. Ellis expects to see a lot of cock in the midfield.
Really?
Okay, it's the gift that keeps on giving, that, isn't it? Right, so let's talk about a couple of incidents in the game. I suppose we should probably start with, I mean, Stoke started the game well, I have to be honest and be fair. They were the better side for at least 10, 15, maybe even 20 minutes. And then they got the penalty, which... this one's divided opinions, hasn't it? Really, really has. A lot of people saying no. I put out a little tweet that just detailed the FA guidelines. All the referees are given these guidelines. It's the official line of what is and isn't a penalty. I'll just read it to you here. A penalty kick is given if a player does any of the following, and there's a list of things, and the three that I think comes into this equation is jumps at an opponent, charges an opponent even with the shoulder, that one's key, strikes or attempts to strike an opponent. Carl, your thoughts on this? Was it, in your opinion, a penalty, and were you surprised it was given?
No, with situations like this, how I tend to look at it is, if that happened to an Arsenal player, would I be jumping up and down screaming penalty? Yes, I would have. Like, I genuinely would have. So, although it's harsh and it genuinely is, I thought it was a foul because though people will say he didn't mean it, it doesn't have to be on purpose. You think of, I guarantee you, 75% of the fouls that are given in or outside the box, they're not meant to injure the player, or it was a genuine attempt to get the ball. And just because a player doesn't mean to foul another player doesn't mean it's not a foul. So for me, there was no reason for his arms to be up like that and also stay in the air. He'd won the ball, why aren't his arms down and running across? I'm not saying that he 100% done it on purpose, but I'm just saying that there was no need for his arms to be where they were. So I when he was given as a penalty, I shrugged because I was like, you can't argue things like that. Because like I said, if that was against an Arsenal player, if that was Alexis or Ozil or something like that, I would have been screaming penalty all day long. So as much as it's horrible to think that it's against an Arsenal player, you've got to be fair and consistent. And for me, I'm going to say it was a foul. And yes, if it's a foul in the box, then it's a penalty.
Well said, well said. And I'm completely with you. Ellis, there's obviously I'll get your thoughts on whether it was or wasn't as well. But just on in your answer as well, I love Arsenal to bits. I've supported them best part of my whole life, and I'm always one to shout and holler at decisions, especially when you're there. You tend to scream and shout for every decision. But do you get the feeling that some of our fans are having a little bit of a? There's this whole thing of it's always us. We're always victims. I don't want us to end up like Liverpool fans. Do you think there's a point there? Because Christ Almighty, do we moan?
Yeah, I think there is a point there. I think our fan base is a bit bipolar in the way it acts. We, like you say, we think it's us against the world in some occasions. And I agree with Carl. What I like to think, the same as Carl, is when there's a foul in our box from one of our defenders, I like to think, obviously, like Carl said, if that was our player in the other box, would we think it's a foul? And if we would, then you can't really complain too much. But I do feel there's a lot of people in our fan base who are just quick to jump on it and think, the referees are shit, they hate us, all referees hate us, all the decision goes against us. Sometimes it is justified, but sometimes it's not really. Sometimes you just got to put your hands up and say, yeah, it's a bit clumsy, that's a foul. If that was anywhere else on the pitch, that'd be a foul. So if it's in the box, it's got to be a penalty. And going to the actual incident itself, I didn't see it in real time because I was still driving back from after helping my girlfriend's nan and nearly try and kill herself from her loft. But hey ho, but I was driving in the car, I heard it. When I got back, I saw the replays, and my first initial thought was, yeah, it's a bit clumsy, but he's made contact. It's in the box. It's got to be a penalty. And there was a bit of that from Xhaka today. He was pushing his luck, really. I think he was lucky not to get a booking, especially for the penalty incident. So to be fair, he's given away a penalty. We haven't got a booking, so it could have been a lot worse. But yeah, I think that's something that he's got in his locker. But me personally, I like a bit of a dirty player. I don't think we've had many of them in the club, so it's nice to have someone like that. Whether that was that by accident or purpose or whatever, I don't know. I can't really judge that from what I've seen. It looked like it could be on purpose. It looked like it could easily be an accident. But obviously, the guy's opinion that matters the most is the referee. I don't really like Lee Mason at all. I didn't think he had a particularly good game, but I couldn't really argue with a decision on the penalty.
I think both of you make very, very good, very, very good points. And Carl, there's something else that we haven't really covered on this incident. Why, if the referee has given it, and this is one I can't explain, if the referee has given it, has he given it for the tackle or perceived tackle, or has he given it for the elbow? And if he's given it for the elbow, which in my opinion he has, why was it not a red card?
That's the question I would love to ask, because for me, he has given it for the elbow. It's blatantly he has. And I know there's this new double jeopardy rule where that's for the goalkeepers, isn't it? Where you can't send the goalkeeper off, it's a foul, and give a penalty. But for me, it's not for the foul, because there is no foul. The foul is the elbow. So clearly he's given it for the elbow. So why is he not? I mean, I'm not advocating Xhaka getting a red card, but why is that not a red card? Again, it goes back to if that was against Arsenal the other way around, I would expect that player to get sent off, because for me, he's blatantly given it for the elbow, and if the elbow's up and he's seen it as dangerous play or violent play, then that's got to be a red card. So this is where kind of the inconsistencies in refereeing comes in. I don't understand why. I mean, all good for us, 11 versus 11, they kept the game equal, but it's just those little inconsistencies in refereeing that kind of annoy fans, because like I said, I thought if the shoe was on the other foot, I would have been screaming, he's got to be sent off for that.
I'm with you. And I said I had a strong, I tend to try to avoid doing too much tweeting during games, because I like to just actually listen or watch the games rather than, sit on the computer the whole time. But I did put one tweet out about the foul, and just I described it as moronic. I thought Xhaka was completely irresponsible. I thought it was I thought it was beyond ridiculous. And if I was his manager now, I'd be absolutely tearing into him. Yes, okay, this is coming together, and yeah, you can argue it's 50-50, but you don't raise your arms in that position. And if you know, talk to John Welsh, ask him, you know, this is the sort of Xhaka that you get when he's wound up, when things are not going his way. He just goes for other players, and he's irresponsible. And that is a side. People ask why he's not been in the team. There you go. For me, it's just ridiculous, utterly ridiculous. And all the good things, oh, Jamie Vardy's just scored. He's still alive, apparently. You know, all the good things he does are undone when he loses his head. And I just felt it was a ridiculous raising of the arm in an unnecessary challenge. There's the goal. Anyway, Charlie Adam, fuck Charlie Adam, whatever. Stoke 1-0 up. I didn't see him celebrate. I'm sure he ran off like he'd won the World Cup. Scottish prick. Anyway, so they were 1-0 up and we needed a response. And we got it, Ellis, from Theo Walcott. This after Hector Bellerin had replaced Mustafi, who it looks like has done his hammy. I mean, come on, we knew the injuries were going to come, surely. We knew they were on their way. But Bellerin proving that he's sharp, he's at it, beautiful cross. And Theo scoring probably the most unlikely Theo Walcott goal you'd see. That was a Giroud finish, wasn't it? And we're back in the game at 1-1. What did you make of it?
I wouldn't actually agree with you, though. I think that's, I know it's a Giroud-like finish, but I think that's a typical finish that Theo Walcott scores when he doesn't really have time to think about it, where he just has to sort of hit it. And obviously,
can I caveat
he did and
that,
went
then?
In.
Can All I right, caveat then, go for it. It is a Theo Walcott effort, but usually it ends up over the stand. It's more my point, but
I'll agree with you there. But yeah, it's definitely the response you need. Going back to the Mustafi injury as well, I've just seen that Akshay's posted in the chat box that FK thinks that that's this year over for him, and then possibly two or three games in January, but we might come to that a bit later. But I think that's a bit of a blow. But credit to Bellerin, he's come back. I sort of agree with Carl as well, the previous point you made. If the player's fit enough to be on the bench, surely he's fit enough to start. But has happened. He's come on anyway because of the injury to Mustafi. And that is the sort of stuff that Bellerin provides for us. And it's, I don't want to criticise Gabriel because I think he's done a really good job considering my nervousness around him when he came on initially when Debuchy got injured and he had to play right back. And since then, when he's played right back, I think he's played quite well. We've sort of shifted our attacking from our fullbacks to the left while he's been there. And now we've got Bellerin back, we can obviously switch it back to the right. And that's the sort of balls. I think, I don't know how many assists Bellerin's got, but he must be getting quite a few. And probably one of the most assists for a fullback or a defender in the league, I reckon. But
sorry,
yeah,
Leicester BMC 2-0. Bloody Leicester. Hell. It's 5 minutes gone.
Yeah, literally.
Leicester 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0 to Leicester, yeah.
Ooh, lovely.
And the cult of Pep continues. Best manager in the world.
Oh, Chris, you're loving this, aren't you?
Absolutely loving it. Ticky-tacky my ass. 2-0 Leicester. Get in. Carry on.
Right, where was I? Yeah, Bellerin sort of, that's the sort of stuff he provides you, getting into those spaces, putting in good balls. And it was quite a good finish from Walcott. It was quite a tight angle. When I initially saw it, I thought, well, that's a good finish. But to see from the angle he's hit it, he hasn't really got much leeway. If he goes too far to the right, he's hitting the post. If he goes too far to the left, then the keeper's probably going to get a hand on it and stop it. So it was a really good finish. And we ended the half quite well and proceeded to start the second half in the same sort of mood. So we definitely needed that. And that helped us probably on to win the game eventually.
Yeah, I think the point you make about the Gabriel thing, the good thing, in a weird way, the fact Gabriel has played these last couple of games, albeit out of position, means that he's kind of match ready, if you get what I mean. And if Mustafi is now going to be out for a period of time, the fact that Per Mertesacker is back in training and the fact that Gabriel's been playing games will probably help the adjustment period, if you will, to what will be a changed back four. And if we can get our first choice right back and only have to change one of the centre backs, that's got to be a bonus. So, yeah, good. Good timing to get the equaliser just before half time as well. I have to just say at one point, by the way, that Andy King finish is some take. Have a look at that later on. So let's move on to the next period of the game then. Carla, when we got back to 1-1, were you sort of fairly confident that we would go on to win the game at that point? Maybe we could sort of start to touch on Mesut Ozil's goal to make it 2-1, which came in the 49th minute. Your thoughts at the goal and at that point, as I say, were you confident we would go on to win it once we'd equalised?
Yeah, once we got the goal, I was like, yeah, we've got this game. I don't even know why, but I just thought, yeah, we won this. Because I kind of got a newfound self-confidence in Arsenal.
Careful.
Especially, I know. I wasn't worried, and it was really weird. Usually, I'm always like, oh, even when we go 1-0 down, I wasn't worried, and I found myself like weirdly not worrying. And even I'm sitting here thinking, why am I not worried that we're 1-0 down? Because we're going to come back. And as soon as we got the equaliser, I was like, yeah, I'm cool with that. Mesut Ozil's goal is something you don't expect from Mesut Ozil. He doesn't get that many headers, but I just want to say the ball from Oxlade-Chamberlain was Ozil-esque. It was amazing. It really was. That ball was just fantastic. It's one of the ones where if Mesut Ozil had done that pass, we would have been going absolutely crazy over it. Like, if that would have been Ozil to Giroud or Ozil to Alexis, we would have been talking about it for days on end. The ball was fan-bloody-tastic. It really was. And for Mesut Ozil, it wasn't an easy header either, because once he had that space, he still had to loop it over the goalkeeper. And that's what I think was really, really good. And it just shows you that the guy's not a one-trick pony. You know, he can pass the ball long, short, and he's got that in his locker as well, to think, all right, I've got to loop the ball over. So the way he headed it up, and the goalkeeper was caught in no man's land, didn't have a chance, and just hit it into the net, and it's just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I agree with you. That ball, particularly on the pass and the ox, you know, we've all been a bit critical. I say we all, our fan base as a whole, have been critical of Oxlade-Chamberlain. And, you know, in fairness, some of it has been justified. You know, he's been patchy, but I think this season, the last couple of weeks, you know, we've all said we weren't getting goals from midfield. We're getting that now, not just from Ox, but as you said, from Ozil. From the wide areas, goals from wide areas, something we were always concerned about. And for me at the moment, Ox can't do much more. And if he's still not completely tip top form, but he's getting assists like that, fine with that. Fine by that with me. It's absolutely fine by me. So very, very decent. And Ellis, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about the goal as well. Not many goals with his head, Mesut Ozil, but he's added a couple, I think, this season. But what I was really impressed with was the decision making to take that option to loop it over the goalkeeper just before he makes contact. He sort of has a glance, and you can see that he thinks that through. Underrated element of his quality, because it's all very well being able to look up for an assist, being able to look up before you put the ball away. That's equally as good, isn't it?
Yeah, I was really pleased with, like, similar to what Carl said, pleased with the ball that came from Ox. I thought that was something we probably would have seen from Santi Cazorla, sort of style ball you can play. So that was really good. And then just to credit Mesut Ozil, he's so sometimes the way he looks and the way he sort of moves, people can tend to say he's a bit languid and not really all out full throttle. But he's so composed in those sort of situations, and he'd done it ludicrous. That's composure there when he sat two players on the right, took it around the keeper, and then popped it in. And he's done it there. He's got the vision. That probably helps with his wonky eyes, but he's got the vision to do those sort of things. And it's definitely an underrated part of his game. I think he scored a couple of headers this season. I can think of one from the Watford game, and I'm pretty sure he may have got another one as well. So it's something that is not, we're not used to him seeing. We're not even really used to him scoring goals as much as he has. It's probably one of his best seasons, I would have thought, for scoring goals. His assists may have dropped off a bit, but that's probably because he's getting further up the pitch. Like people have mentioned before, we've sort of moved him and Alexis closer, and it's really coming to fruition from this. We're getting more goals from Ozil, and we're getting to those sort of positions. And to go back as well about what we said about criticising the Ox, I've seen a lot of people criticising Ozil in recent weeks. So for him to get that goal, he's now scored in back-to-back Premier League games, obviously scoring against West Ham last weekend. It just makes me so happy, because I get a bit annoyed with some sections of our fan base who are very quick to jump on people's backs. With the Ox, and even with Theo last season, I could see it. I was very critical of both those players, and before the summer, I was sort of thinking about possibly getting rid of one of them and bringing in someone a bit better quality. But credit to them both, they've stepped up and they've both improved their games in areas that were a bit lacking in the previous season. And as for Ozil, if you're going to get critical of him, you just need to sort of take a step back, have a look. He's not the sort of player that's going to grab the game by a scruff of the neck like Alexis Sanchez does, but he will provide people with opportunities. He will have those sort of moments of skill, those moments where he will just look up and find someone in low space and play someone in, or like we've seen today, a moment where he's made a good run and just made a header that we probably wouldn't have thought he had in his locker. And it's just nice to see when players are getting criticised to them sort of shove it down the people's throats, who are getting a bit moany about him, because he has... I will admit he has looked like he's gone missing in some of the games this season, especially in the draws against United and the other games around then, Tottenham and PSG. But he's now popped up with a couple more goals. I just think it's a bit harsh to really criticise one of our players, especially one of our best players in the squad, along with him and Sanchez. But yeah, happy for him to get the goal, and a very good goal it was.
Yeah, one of our players who, of course, we're trying to keep at the club. So rather than get on his back, we want to kind of praise him and come on to the Alexis Ozil factor a little bit later on, because there's a point I want to make on that. I think my friend Lana summed up a Chelsea fan rather nicely during this game. Somebody called at the Jose era tweeted, Ozil absolutely abysmal today. One of the worst first halves I've seen from any top, in inverted commas, player. Lana's response, your mum should have swallowed. Which I think is, you know, ultimately the best way to address any Chelsea fan talking shit about our players. So well done, Lana, for that one.
No, just any Chelsea fan in general, to be honest.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's an equally fair
point. Very good point.
Yes. A 2-1 up, we were... I think it's the only point, just to address what you said earlier on, Carl, about not being worried, it's the only point of the game where I sort of went, like a third goal, please, because I don't know, just sort of have that feeling with Arsenal. You never know what's quite coming next. And we did get the third goal, luckily, and all the worry was taken away from it. Alex Iwobi, Carl, popping up with the third goal. Referee highly criticised throughout the game, but he let a very good advantage go when Alexis was fouled, and Iwobi darted through and notched the third goal. Good for his confidence, two goals in a week, and very tidy finish to make the game safe.
Yeah, give credit where credit's due to the referee. He could have easily blown up for a foul, but he let play go. And Iwobi was good as well, because easily, you know, that's an absolute key to when people say play to the whistle, play to the whistle. You know, a lot of players would have probably stopped, thrown their hands up in the air, pointed and asked for the foul then. But no, I think it was brilliant that, you know, he went through on goal, done almost Henry-esque, opened up his body into the far corner, keeper didn't get to it. And it's brilliant, like you said, for his confidence, because for the past couple of weeks, he hasn't played that well. Let's be honest, he hasn't been as good as he was towards the beginning of the season. So I think this definitely, two goals in a week, it can do no end to anybody's confidence. He's done well. I can't remember who we got next, but would I start him? You never know. You've got to keep on playing these players in form. Anyone that's in form, you've got to play them, regardless of our opinions. And I know the manager obviously doesn't care about opinions, but we've got, it's Everton away, isn't it? Yeah, Everton away. And Everton are dog shit at the moment. So I would play Iwobi. I would start Iwobi against Everton most definitely, because when someone's in a rich vein of form and they're doing well, then go for it, because confidence breeds good performances.
Yeah, well said, well said. And somebody in the chat box there actually came out and makes a good point. Before Iwobi's goal, Cech made a key save to keep it 2-1. That is a very good point. Was it from Crouch? Or was it? I think it's Crouch. But yeah, he made a decent save just before that second goal went in. And as for Everton next, you're right, Everton followed by Man City. I'm not going to mention Everton's centre forward because obviously with my history of Cavani, I'm going to keep quiet on my thoughts on Everton and their centre forward right now.
Got two goals today, Chris. Just saying.
Yep, lost 3-2 at Watford. So clearly a massive game changer there, wasn't he? Anyway, let's move on.
Now you've talked him up. See, you said you weren't going to do it, and now you've done it.
I just
hat-trick incoming.
just stated a few facts, nothing more. anywho, let's carry on. So I want to just touch on, obviously, that kind of gleaned the result to get a 3-1 win. I just want to touch on a few of the things that maybe a bit of a concern. Ellis, winning headers in the air. Are you a little bit worried about the fact? I know Stoke are a big side and, you know, all the things that go with that, but you're a little bit concerned that we are conceding quite a lot of aerial dominance against sides, because we were picked off three or four times today where, had Stoke's finishing been better, we would have conceded more goals.
Yeah, it was a bit of a concern, and I think that's probably something that Mark Hughes picked up on, what with bringing Crouch on. And once I saw him coming on, and he nearly scored from literally coming for his first touch, coming on from that corner, I was a bit worried, and I thought, here we go. Last 15, 20 minutes, however much was left in the game, they're going to pump crosses in, and we're really going to struggle against someone like Crouch. I don't rate him anymore. Back in the day, he used to pop up with a few goals, but now you think he's past it. But I was still worried that he was going to come up and get a goal. The same sort of worry that people felt when Carroll came on against us when we played West Ham. But saying that, when he came on, he didn't really get too much opportunities. And there was a time when they put in a ball behind it and he ran out and picked it up on the wing. And it's sort of like, if you've brought on that big man to come and win headers because you're doing quite well with it, you don't really want him out on the left, do you? But anyhow, I've digressed. Yeah, it's a bit of a concern. What with your man Lukaku coming in the next fixture, it could be he's a big lad, he could cause trouble. Sometimes that's one of the sort of areas that our fullbacks can be left wanting. They're not the most physical and strong, and they sometimes do get beat into the air. You expect Koscielny to probably do better. And Gabriel, not too convinced on his aerial ability as well. I think Mustafi and Koscielny are okay, but as something that we're going to have to work on. But unfortunately, I don't think it's something that we do. I'm not sure who takes the role of defending. I've heard in previous interviews that Pat Rice used to take defending, and obviously we've got Steve Bolt at the club, so maybe he takes the defences now and Wenger doesn't really get involved. But if that's the man who's doing it, he needs to sort of maybe focus on that and try and improve that part of our game. Because like you say, if that was a team with better finishes than what Stoke had, then we could have been in a bit of trouble today.
Yeah, we could have. That's my only sort of real concern, is that Stoke are not as big a physical side as they used to be, but they are still decent in the air, and we did give up quite a few chances. That's a little bit of a concern as we head into two away games on the spin. Something I want to get both of your opinions on here. The podcast on Thursday touched on this in great detail, and if you haven't heard it, do go and listen to our very own Lord Hillwood's assessment of the contract situation between Alexis and Mesut Ozil. And I won't even begin to say that I understood, so Steve breaks it down brilliantly, so do listen to that. But just on the players alone, is it a good sign, and Carlos, start with you, that today Alexis didn't score? You know, his work rate was there, it always is, but I didn't think he had his best game today, but he didn't score. Yet Mesut stepped up, Theo Walcott stepped up. We've got to be careful, haven't we, that we don't step into this situation where we're so reliant on just those two players, or at the very least, can we only be reliant on one per game, not both? Do you think there's a point in that we have to be looking at the team as a whole, and they're just a big part of the basis of that team?
Before I answer that question, I just want to reiterate what you said. If you haven't listened to the podcast account, go and listen to what Steve said. I played it to a Man United fan, and even he was like, I want to download this, listen to it, because it was brilliant. It touched on everything you needed to know. If you don't understand about contracts and things, listen to that. I mean, I've got a Man United fan converted to ABW, so that just says it all, how good it actually really was. And they're 3-0 up. Oh my God. Sorry, what is going on? Sorry.
Fucking hell.
Yes, going back to what you said, they are a cog in a big wheel. They're a very big part of that cog in the wheel. But yes, we can't just rely on, we don't want to be a two-man team. We can't just say, oh, if Ozil's playing, then, or if Sanchez is playing, that's where we're going to win the game. Because they're not going to play every game this season. As much as, you know, we want them to play every single game this season, it's not going to happen. And if worst comes to the worst and they actually do leave, which I'm kind of in the same boat as John, not with a shit beard, but I think one of them will leave this season, because although Arsene Wenger says we're not going to sell them, we can't afford for them to leave on a free. That's not going to happen. So coming to the summer, if they if the indications are they're not going to sign, then we've got to cash in for them. We have to, because there's no way we can afford to let Mesut Ozil and Sanchez leave on a free. That's not going to happen, no matter what anyone says. I think it's good that other players step up, but I think they make other players around them step up. You know, when you see Alexis running around like a madman, it makes you do exactly the same thing, because you think, right, if he's closing down, I've got to do the same thing. So for me, it's absolutely, I think it's vital that if not both, then one of them has to stay, has to, without a shadow of a doubt. But at least we know there are people in the squad that can step up, maybe not do exactly the same job as them, but still, if they need to be counted, then they can step up and sort of put in a performance that we're not only reliant just on those two.
Well said. And the concept of this, Ellis, I mean, obviously I'll get your views on exactly the same question to Carl, but just to add to it slightly, if we've got players like Alexis and Mesut Ozil playing at the level they are playing at the moment, these players are training with the Oxes, the Walcotts, etc., every day of the week. Surely when they're playing at their optimum level, they're bringing those other players up to their level. So, I mean, that's got to help as well, hasn't it, as far as a team goes? And again, feel free to touch on the idea of playing as a team rather than just relying on the two of them.
So, is that to Ellis or me?
That was to Ellis, sorry, yeah. Oh. I think he started talking, then muted himself, I think.
Did I? My bad, sorry.
There you go.
Sorry, what was I saying when I was on mute? Yeah, I agree with the previous statement you made when you asked Carl the question. It is, we've been caught out in previous years and seasons gone by when we've been heavily reliant on the one player, whether it was like Fabregas or when it was RVP, or even that season when Ramsey had a really good season, we sort of relied heavily on the goals that he brought. And when he got injured, we saw our sort of title hopes fade away. So it is important that we don't get too reliant on the one player. But I think with both, you can have games one, like I said earlier, people have got on Mesut Ozil's back because he's been quiet, but Alexis Sanchez can pull out a hat-trick. Or today, Mesut Ozil, people said he was quiet, he's still come out with a goal. Sanchez has got an assist, but he hasn't scored. But I think the other players are stepping their game up around them. I think Danny, a few weeks back, posted a little picture of our top four goal scorers, and it's obviously Sanchez, Ozil, Walcott, and the Ox. So the Ox and Walcott are really chipping in with goals now. So we're not... I do think the fact that those two are our best players, there's no doubt about it, and they are, like Kyle said, we need one of them to stay fit for a majority of the season, because if we lose both of them, we are going to be in big trouble. But I think you can switch from reliance on between one or two of them, and then we can sort of rely on the other guys, not the fringe players, but not the stars on our team, the likes of Walcott and Ozil and Ox to chip in with a goal or two or assist. So I think it's good. I am really confident with the team that we've got at the moment. But like, if we do lose one of them, that's going to be bad. It is going to be bad. But I'll also say as well, I did listen to the podcast, and Steve made a really good point. There's some really good points on that podcast. And if, like you said, if people haven't listened now, they really need to, because it is a good, very good points. But yeah, I can't reiterate how important those two are to us. But
yeah. Agreed. And if you want to follow our Steve on the Twitter, it's at Lord Hillwood, if you want to follow him. So if you've got any questions about the podcast and that, I'm sure he will more than happily answer those for you. Just a very quick sidebar stat here that my good friend Ross has just messaged me, and he said only Crystal Palace, Sunderland and Hull City have kept less clean sheets than Man City this season. Now there's a stat. Maybe City could get Pardew in. Perhaps he'd do a job. He certainly wouldn't defend any better if he was. But still, anywho, back to Arsenal. Any concerns for you guys? We touched on it earlier on about the Mustafi injury. And obviously with the hamstring, it looked like a hamstring anyway. And you know what? As you said to yourself, Carl, with the injuries we've got, the worry is we immediately say, right, they're going to be out short term. That usually becomes long term. So I think the manager's being very sensible in being careful with players this season. What's your viewpoints on going forwards with the defence into this busy Christmas period? Would you look to get the Koscielny-Mertesacker partnership back together? I mean, obviously, we're going to play Gabriel in the short term, but would you look at maybe getting Pear back integrated when he's fit quicker, or would you be happy to stick with Gabriel and Koscielny? Because it's not a partnership that, it's not what I'm keen on, and it's not one that's worked particularly well in the past.
I think we're forgetting we've got Holding as well, and Holding for me is whether you'd start him in a number of games, I'm not too sure, but he should, over this festive season, he's going to get games, because the games are coming thick and fast now. I think if Mustafi has got a hamstring injury, that is 2-3 weeks, no doubt. As much as I don't like playing Gabriel at centre-back, I think you made a good point what you said, that him playing at right-back has made him match fit, and it's given him valuable game time. So he's not coming in rusty, because that's what tends to happen. And I think, not saying that he gets a rough ride, but it's very hard for players to be sitting on the bench for, we're talking, 5-6 weeks, and they're just being expected to jump straight into action and play a 10 out of 10 game. It doesn't happen. So the fact that he's got some match sharpness, hopefully he'll be better than he has been in the past. But again, we've got Holding there, and Holding for me is, that boy is a talent, and he was an absolute bargain. I mean, if you look at now, John Stones was what, 42 million? I mean, dog shit at the moment. And I would definitely say that Holding is better than John Stones at the present time. Definitely. And also, rushing Purback, I wouldn't rush Purback. This is his last year, right? That I believe.
Yeah, we'll come on to the contract extensions later on. But yeah, go on.
All right, yeah, this is last year. So I wouldn't want to kind of do an Arteta rushing back, because that's what we did with Arteta, I think. And his body broke down. Let him play, bring it back. He's going to get games, most definitely, just because of the longer we stay in the Champions League, and if we do have a good FA Cup run, then obviously the games, we're going to be playing multiple games, and we're going to need a whole squad. That's the reason why you have a squad. I wouldn't rush him back, but at the same time, I'd integrate him very slowly, but I would still put Holding in front of Mertesacker.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, with, you know, at least for the short term, until Pair is 100% fit. And the chat box lit up actually a minute ago and said, what about Holding? I was like, yeah, I'm not forgetting Holding. I think, like you said, Carl, he's a very, very talented, and, you know, I think he's going to be a very, very talented footballer for us in the long term, if not already. And let's not forget as well, Callum Chambers has been Middlesbrough's best player for at least a month now. So that could be the future, maybe. But just in the short term, I think, you know, Gabriel, for experience alone, you probably go with that. Let's see how we get on. You know, maybe things will improve with him, and Koz is a better player than he was a year ago, in my opinion, as well. So hopefully he can help knit it all together. Ellis, with regards to the next game we play is away at Everton. Would you like to see us sort of go up there and take the game to them, much as we did to Stoke for long periods of the game today? I mean, you know, we're away from home, but would you like to see us go up there and really try and exploit the pace that we've been showing, play Alexis up front again and really go at them from the first minute? Or would you sort of take the more cautious approach with that midfield two sort of destroyers like we did today?
It's a difficult one, that, to be honest. We've got Man City shortly after, because obviously this is midweek Everton and then Man City the following weekend. So I'm not sure if I'd be tempted to rest certain players, because like we know, Everton haven't been of great sorts at the moment. So you might be able to get away with resting people. Or you go with, like you say, you go with a strong lineup, hopefully get a few goals, and then you can take off the Alexises, the Ozils, and rest the key guys ready for Man City. I'd depend on whatever team we put out. I'd probably more inclined to go at them from the off, because I believe even if we did maybe drop the Ox for Iwobi or drop Alexis for Giroud, obviously if we dropped Alexis for Giroud, it does change our sort of game, because we can't go as attacking speed. We sort of have to go back and revert to how we sort of played for big periods of last season. But it depends on which way you're really inclined to go. I think I'd be inclined to start strong, go at them, and then if we do have a couple of goals, then take off the guys that we need and just rest them before that big City game that's coming up in the following weekend.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the one thing I'm quite pleased about is that the substitutions we're making at the moment, okay, the Mustafi one was enforced, but taking off Alexis today, you know, I know he doesn't want to come off, but I'm pleased that we did that. It just gives them that, just that little bit of extra recovery time. And I don't know, obviously Dom would be better placed to talk about this than I, but when you're in a game where you're cruising's probably the wrong word, but when you're 3-1 up, you've got about 10 minutes to go, that's when your body tends to, you naturally tend to take your foot off the gas a little bit. And I think that's when your body tends to be more susceptible to getting injured, when you sort of, you've been explosive for 60, 70 minutes, and all of a sudden you start to take it a bit slower, and then you're expected to then get your body back up to speed again if they suddenly score. And I just think at that point I would rather just take off players and, you know, and rest them fully. So that's, it's good news, especially seeing as that game's Tuesday, isn't it? So it's a quick turnaround before that Everton game. So yeah, will be tough. Just want to touch, Carl, before we go to questions, just that midfield two again. It's probably going to be a question that's going to come up on every show we ever do forever now. But it was Xhaka and Coquelin today. I thought Coquelin was impressive in periods. Still not convinced by his passing range as far as further down the field goes. But to me, it's pretty clear now that he is being asked to push or press higher up the field to win the ball back. And it seems to work. And Xhaka had a sort of, you know, kind of a bitty day, as I say. I thought the penalty was utterly ridiculous, but overall, again, he was fairly competent today. So who would be your two going up to Everton, and do you agree with this sort of system we're doing at the moment, where we're rotating different players for different games?
Yes, but my two for Everton would be the two that started today. Actually, it kind of depends on how long Ramsey is actually out for. If it is just a one game missing, then I probably would be tempted to start Ramsey. But if there's any risk at all with Ramsey, then I wouldn't even risk him, just because I'd rather rest him for a poor Everton team and have him on the bench if we need him for, well, a poor Man City. But regardless of that, I wouldn't risk him at all against Everton, just because we're going to be playing a lot of games over this Christmas period, and I really don't want a lot of injuries, just because you know what happens to Arsenal in January, February, when the games do start coming thick and fast and we're overplaying players, and that's really something I don't want. So at the moment, I don't have a problem with Xhaka. I honestly don't, because I feel he's coming into his own. Yes, he does some stupid things, but I think John told us, like, when he first signed, that he's prone to that. So it's not a surprise. Yes, I get that we probably didn't know how much he would do some silly things, but today was probably, for me, one of the silliest things he's done. When he got sent off against Swansea,
Yeah,
that
that
for
was
me,
harsh.
that wasn't a silly thing to do, because it's
No.
what players have been doing since the dawn of time. Break up the attack, get the yellow card, and move on. But for some reason, it was a red card, when I've seen probably about three other people do that since, and nothing's happened to them. So again, the inconsistency with refereeing. But no, if going up to Everton, I would play Coquelin and Xhaka.
Yeah, I kind of understand what you're saying. As I say, this is not a I don't like Xhaka thing. I think, you know, the guy's very talented, and people forget he's still very young. It's just the petulant side that I worry about, and I just think when you paid that much money for a player, I know the fee isn't dictated by the player, but when you were relying on a player, you know, if he's doing this against Stoke at home, you know, I just want to make sure that he's learning from it, and he's not going to do it in a game that's really going to cost us. I think that's my concern. So I hope it doesn't happen. I would actually be tempted to go Elneny Coquelin at Everton personally, mainly because of Everton's with Idrissa Gueye, who sort of sits deep and just wins a lot of the balls for them. I'd actually quite like to see sort of two players, one that can just get on him and press him, i.e. Coquelin, the other one who can sit and protect the back four and pass from deep in Elneny. So I wouldn't be against that idea, but we shall see. We shall see. Okay. So obviously that result takes us top of the table for the time being anyway, and unless Man City do something extraordinary, which I don't think they're going to right now, hopefully that will continue until Chelsea face West Brom, isn't it, at home? So you'd think they'll win that. Man United Tottenham, I think I can speak for everyone when we say we're all praying for an acid rain shower over that one, followed by a large black hole.
I'm a 6-6 draw with
18
four
broken
red
legs.
cards.
Yeah.
Four red cards, and Harry Kane to get shot in the head by a rogue missile.
I'd settle for Harry Kane being bum-fucked by Jose Mourinho and catching some sort of venereal disease. I'd be happy with that.
Let me get this right. You want to watch Harry Kane get bum-fucked, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. With Jose Mourinho wearing a sandpaper condom. So I think I'd be fine. I'd enjoy that, you know.
I mean, that floats your boat, Chris. I mean, you know.
I like weird shit. Ask John. John's the same. You know, John's into weird shit. So it's just part of the ABW thing here. We're all weird, you know. But let's move on from Harry Kane being buggered. It's just weird. Let's take some questions, and then we'll let our lovely listeners go off and enjoy the rich pickings of Leicester Man City. We've got a few in the box already, actually. So, before I do that, I'm going to set our lovely listeners a challenge. If we can get 100 thumbs ups today, this is a social experiment, John will get a better beard. We're not sure how yet, but we're going to work on it. So if we can get 100 thumbs ups, John will do something with his beard to improve it.
Is there such thing as beard transplants?
I don't know, but I'm sure we can make it.
Mascaroni.
There you go. Maybe we could get Danny to send him some in the post. He's got too much beard at the moment, so we could get him to send John some in the post. So there you go. There's your challenge. We're up to 43, so 57 to go. We're on the way. Right, 49. It's growing. Anyway, questions. Let's see what we've
got. And likes.
And the likes. everything Rude.
Oh, God.
Boing. Everything Rude, Rude, everything. Let's start with his question. He wants to know, Ellis, you can have this one. Do you re-sign Per Mertesacker and Olivier Giroud to new contracts?
With Giroud, personally, I definitely would. I think he's still got a lot to offer. The fact that when we signed him initially, I don't think he was ever intended to be the starting striker. And if he was, the season following on, we were linked with like Higuain and Suarez and stuff like that. You start to think that he's not in Wenger's plans to be the main striker, but I think as an option coming off the bench, he's a very good backup striker in my eyes. And if we continue with the same sort of vein of playing Alexis up front in most games as our out and out striker, then to have the option to completely swap it on his head and have someone who's nip fast, quick, and swap it with someone who's a bit better in the air that we can then play long balls to is a great option to have. So I'd rather sign him than have to try and find that option in the transfer market. As for Per, I'd like to see a bit more of him next year in the second half of the season. If he comes back, he's fit, he doesn't have any more injuries, he plays a part. I wouldn't want him to be in place of Mustafi. I think Kosh and Mustafi is our centre-back pairing, the best centre-back pairing we can have for the foreseeable future. But as sort of a third choice or someone who can come in when called upon, I'd like to see how he does then, and if he can stay fit and if he can contribute to the team, then yeah, I'd be all up for signing him on for an extra couple of seasons because he's been a good servant to the club.
Yeah, well said. And you can't have enough experience at the end of the day, can you? And people are it's so funny how people have forgotten how much Olivier Giroud has done, not only for us as a whole, but this season as well. You know, he's not been forgotten. He's been half fit for most of the season. He'll get his time. And we need a player like that to be ready to rock and roll if anything does happen to Alexis, or we need to change our game. Because, Jamie Vardy scored twice tonight, but you ask him what happens when teams find you out. And, you know, there will come a point where teams will try and defend against what Alexis does for us. And they're the games that we will definitely need Giroud possibly to start. So
I saw on Twitter, and I can't remember who said it, and it's quite true. He's the best plan B option in the Premier League. 100%.
Yeah,
because when Alexis has worn you out as a defender, chasing you down, hurrying you with the ball and running you all over the place, then we've got Giroud, who he changes the game, and it's very hard for a defender to completely adjust to what Giroud will do. He will be on the ground, he will bully you, and the aerial threat. So I genuinely think, I can't remember who said it, I really can't remember, but credit to you, he is the best plan B option in the Premier League.
Yeah, agreed. I like Mike Feinberg's question to Ellis. That's good, that. Like it. Is Ellis more Fabregas or Mahrez?
Bastards.
That is good. We won't tie you with either. It's fine. Next question, then. Who have we got here? Gaz, Gunner Down Under. Question. Upgrade on Ramsey? ? Carl, it's the ongoing debate, isn't it? if you got a large offer, which for the record, I don't think we would with his form at the moment anyway, but if you got a large offer, would you be considering moving Ramsey on? And like a few people have said, it's all right moving him on. How on earth do you replace him? Because he is a quality footballer, irrespective of what you think of him. So, I mean, what would be your position if you were to receive a big offer? Would you look to upgrade him?
I'm not into Ramsey bashing at all. I have my opinions on him. I think it's really weird. When he's good, flipping unplayable, he really is. And when he's bad, he's bad. But at the end of the day, he's someone that we need in the squad. And I honestly would only sell him if we got an offer in excess of 50 million. Because the way football transfer market is going today, that's the only other offer, only offer that I would take for him. I wouldn't sell him for 30, not for 35 million, not at all. Because where in world football are you going to find someone as good as Ramsey who can play in the positions? I mean, we all moan about Ramsey, but when he's asked to play wide right, he plays wide right. When he's asked to play in centre mid, he plays centre mid. When he's asked to play in the Ozil hole, he plays in the Ozil hole. So he's so versatile, and I think people don't really see that. You're not going to find a replacement for less than 50 million who can play in all those positions. So I wouldn't sell him at all. But if we got an offer of 50 million, then I'm not even going to lie, I would definitely consider it.
I think I sit in exactly the same place as you. You know, I want Ramsey to be the player that we saw a few years ago, but the problem I think we're going to have with that is he's not going to play the same role with the same freedom unless we change our system. I'm not convinced that him and Xhaka long term is protective enough personally. I know a lot of people think it is. I just don't. And I love Ramsey to bits, but like you summed up perfectly, when he's good, he's brilliant. When he's not, he's horrid. And that's unfortunately, that's the issue we've got. Similar with Oxlade-Chamberlain. Really, you know, when he's good, he's brilliant. When he's not, ouch. But we'll see. We'll see. As you say, I think he'll be with us for a while, to be honest. And I think the manager clearly likes him. So it may just be a question of adapting our system accordingly. This is a great question, Ellis. I really like this question. It's got me thinking, actually, very thought-provoking. Shieldsy wants to know, would you consider offering Alexis Sanchez the captaincy to persuade him to stay, as Per isn't up to much and we need a solid captain in my eyes? What do you guys think? I'll let you answer first and then I'll give you my views. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I did see that pop up in the chat box. And speaking of the chat box, can I kick Josh Dorr out and block him?
Don't tempt me.
Anyway, yeah, I think that's a really good question. We've used it in the past, haven't we, the captaincy, to sort of tempt people to stay. We used it with both RVP and Fabregas. And with Fabregas, it sort of worked. And with RVP, I guess it worked. The only thing I would be worried about is we haven't had much luck with captains in recent seasons. They've either been injured and not featured much. So or they've gone off to another team. So really, I'd be scared to give it to him. But if it came down to it and that was something that we could use to persuade him to stay, I'd be all for it. And to be honest, he might not be, I don't know how well his English is or how well he is communicating on the pitch, but he certainly leads by example. So as a captain, that'd be a really good option for him to have, because he pressures really hard and he gestures to the team to press with him. And I've heard players like the Ox say that they really look up to him. So I think he would make a good captain, but I'd say I'd rather keep Cos at the moment because I think he deserves it. I think he should be the captain. But again, to keep him, then yeah, possibly. If it came to it, then I'd do everything to keep Sanchez, buy him a new golden retriever, whatever.
Yeah, make his dog captain. That's the way forward.
Yeah,
I'm with you. You know, playing at the level managing at the level I manage at, I always like my captain to be either a central midfielder or a centre back. Always have done, always will do, or a goalkeeper. But I think it's the more it goes on, the more the armband is a bit of a, it's a figure of speech. It's what's the word? It's like a little symbol, isn't it? I don't think it really means a huge amount. When you're on the pitch, you need leaders. And I think Cos leads by example. Alexis's work rate leads by example. But, you know, I don't think it would change his status anyway. I think if he wants to go, he'll go. If he wants to stay, he'll stay. So, but it's a good question, because we have had all sorts of captains over the years. Shudders, William Gallas. Anyway, another question here from our very own Stefan. He wants to ask, is Bellerin the fourth most important player for us, Carl, behind Alexis Ozil and Koz, he says. It's a good argument, that, isn't it?
Him or Cech, definitely. Our game definitely changes when Bellerin's on the pitch. And you could tell because if you remember the first half, there was a ball where they tried to play a 1-2, and I think Gabriel just about missed it. And I thought if he was fast enough, that would have been he would have been in on goal, and it would have been definitely would have scored. But you could tell if Bellerin was on the pitch, he would have definitely scored it. So he changes our dynamic definitely just because that play between him and Walcott. If you're opposition player, you're playing on the left-hand side, you cannot handle that speed. Like, it is ridiculous. If them two are both running at you don't know who to chase. You don't know if to track Walcott, you don't know if to track Bellerin, because they're both super, super fast. I'm very glad that he signed his contract extension. He is very important to us. So I think it's between him and Cech as the fourth most important player.
Yeah, makes some good points there. Peter Cech, people forget because he's just so calm and does things in simple ways. People forget that he is still a very, very important player for us in the long run. So, yeah, agreed there. Good question. That here's another one for you, Ellis. Oh, it's from this bloke called Josh Dorr. Sounds like a bit of a prick, to be honest. But still, Coquelin, should he play versus City to help press the back? To help press back. X of City, i.e., one of their players. Do we therefore rest him versus Everton to go with El Nene? It's a good question as well.
Yeah, good question from a bit of a dickhead, but still,
Can't have
I
it all, can
think
we?
no, we can't. That's something that we've noticed and we've pointed out on previous radio shows. I know Josh is quite a big fan of this sort of role that Coquelin's got of now pressing a bit higher up the ball, up the pitch, and winning the ball higher up the pitch. It sort of worked out well in the West Ham game. I think he picked up for the initial first goal, and then Sanchez ran onto it and put the ball in for Ozil. So it can work. It's a high risk, high rewards and risk and high rewards sort of tactic. Like, you can risk it. It's like, for example, if he goes up high up the pitch and he misses a tackle, he's then not in the position we want him to be in, like a bit deeper in the pitch, and he's left depend on who his midfield partner is there, sort of by themselves. If it's Xhaka or El Neni, they're not the fastest. I'm quite happy with Ramsey's ability to track back and cover. So in that situation, if he was paired up with Ramsey, I wouldn't be that worried. But Xhaka was, as we've said and as we've seen in the game today, he can be a bit risky with his tackles, I should say, or challenges. Sometimes they're not even tackles. And he's not the fastest either, so he could be sort of rushing to making a bad tackle, risk a booking, risk a sending off, risk setting a set piece up in a dangerous area. So but it can work the other way. He can win the ball up and then start a counter attack from inside City's half. So it'd be interesting to see and use because, like we've just mentioned, they're not doing too well against Leicester. They've not had the best results as of late. Their defence, I can't remember what you said earlier, but it's one of the worst in the league apparently. So it's worth it. I think it's worth giving it a go. Like I said, Coquelin and Xhaka, I think, will be the two sort of centre mids for the winter break at least. But I'd be more inclined to sort of sit back against City because when they played Chelsea, City were all over them for a good portion of that game, and Chelsea just countered really well and they frustrated City. And I think if we can frustrate City with the pace of maybe Oxlade-Chamberlain, Phil Walker, Sanchez up front, we can counter really quickly. And obviously, Xhaka is one of those people who can ping a ball out wide, even Oxlade it for Ozil. So we've got players who can play those long balls and pass and start a counter attack off quickly. So I'd personally be more inclined to be a bit reserved and not press too high up the pitch against City and just sort of frustrate them and then counter and try and counter effectively.
Yeah, good points. Again, another good question, thought-provoking. Couple of bits of admin for you here. Gunnerblog asked, James asked the question to us and Wenger about Mustafi in the press conference after the game, and the manager said it looks quite a good hamstring strain, which was later clarified, it's a bad one. So that would suggest to me that's 4 to 6 weeks, I would guess. This is always good to see. A touchy Mark Hughes stormed out of the press conference when asked about Stoke fans singing Aaron Ramsey, he walks with a limp. Good old Mark Hughes, stay classy, you fucking grey cunt.
Hainton.
And yeah, I do. Absolute knobber. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen this, but I'm just watching it back, just picked up on it. Charlie Adam, he's at it again, isn't he? Have you seen the sly stamp on Alexis on that foul for the third goal?
No, I didn't see it. But he's done it
No,
again.
I didn't pick that up
Go
either, but it doesn't surprise me.
He's
on,
got a thing
have a
about
look.
Alexis, hasn't he? Because didn't he
He
strangle him
has.
last time he played?
Yeah, if you watch it, he goes to tackle him, and when he obviously fouls him, as he goes to step away from him, his other leg is a very deliberate stamp action. Go and have a look at it. Yeah.
Just let the FA see that and then put up on the internet.
Absolutely. Or, of course, just overlook it completely and do nothing. That'd be good. Anyway, let's have two more questions and then we will leave it there. Johnny Moon, question for you, Carl. If Draxler, here we
Yes.
go. Draxler is available in January, do we do it? Well, he was left out of the squad for
He
Bayern Munich
was
today.
today. They lost 5-0. Oh,
Yep.
Wolfsburg.
I watched it and they were fucking
I
abysmal.
know.
Yeah, so
I've
you took
got
the
a crush. I've got a crush on Draxler. I have done for many years before he was even like a big household name. Before we was even linked with him, I've always liked him. When he used to play for God, who left?
Schalke.
Schalke. I looked at him and I remember watching him a few games and thinking, "Boy's got talent," but he was very injury prone. I've got a bit of a man crush on him, so I would move heaven and high water to get him. And I know what people are going to say, it's going to stunt Iwobi's growth, and I totally get that. I really do. But for me, if you can improve your squad, then go for it. On the wide positions, I think Draxler would fit into our team seamlessly. I genuinely do. But my issue is if he's got problems at a club, you know what Arsene Wenger's like. You got to have a good ability, but you've also got to have a very good attitude. And I think we haven't signed some players in the past because of their attitude. So I think Arsene Wenger would be looking at why he's fallen out at Wolfsburg, what's happened, and all that sort of stuff that could contribute him coming towards us. But for me, you'd get him at a cut price as well now, because I think when we was going to buy him 2 Januaries ago, they were talking 40 million or something like that. I think now we could get him for maybe 30 million. So I would definitely move heaven and high water to go and sign Julian Draxler, because I think he would fit into our team brilliantly.
I think it's one of those that's going to run and run. I'm going to go on record here and say something a bit random, but I don't think we'll sign Julian Draxler because I think we'll sign Riyad Mahrez at the end of this summer. Just going to put that out there. Just have a feeling that we were a lot close. Well, I say I have a feeling. I've got fairly good authority. We were a lot closer to trying to get Mahrez in the summer as some people might think. We obviously didn't get him, but I think it was so close to the degree that we were that keen, and I think it was only the, as you've exactly said there, the Iwobi thing that maybe put us and off saying, you know what, let's leave it a season, see how Leicester do. We've all seen what they're doing now, but they're not having the best of seasons. See how he performs in the Champions League and then maybe go back. So I've just got a sneaky feeling we might go back. Sadly, I think we'll actually be competing with PSG to go for him. So that's the worry. And speaking of PSG, that's where I see Draxler potentially ending up as well. So we shall see. But yeah, it's one that's going to run and run, isn't it? That's for sure. Because he's certainly a player that a lot of people like and he's very talented. So bring it on. Last question, it's more of a point, I suppose. Mike Feinberg, Gunners in the USA. If Aaron Ramsey was sold to another Premier League team, would Jason Davies start a new podcast supporting that team? Yeah, you probably would, Mike. You probably would. We love Jace, bless him, and fair play to him. Like he's always said he'll back Aaron Ramsey to the hills, and fair play, because it's good that people have got their favourite players, and I think it's good that we give them a bit of support, because even today, Iwobi was getting jeered, wasn't he, before the goal, and he shut a lot of people up. So let's back our players rather than attacking them, because you know, we're top of the league at the end of the day. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't see any other way that we'd have had a better chance to win a title at this stage of the season, probably since last year. And we all know what happened last year. So let's hope we can kick it on. Okay, final thoughts then before Everton. Carl, final thoughts from you, first of all. Anything else you want to sort of mention before we go and maybe look ahead briefly to what you expect at Everton?
I do expect us to beat Everton. Everton were very poor today against a Watford team. Even when they sort of drew, got back to 1-1, I didn't think that Everton played that well. I think we'll beat Everton. I genuinely do. Sometimes we have very tricky games against Everton, but I don't see us having a very hard game. I'd probably go for like a 2-1, to be honest. But I genuinely think we'll beat Everton, and that will set us good, because even though we're top of the league now, and Man City, they won't win this game. You're looking at Liverpool over your shoulder. Hopefully they'll lose tomorrow, I believe it is. I think if we just keep on what we're doing, we won't have any problems. But it's to keep up the intensity of how we're playing and keeping the squad together. Injuries will happen, as it's shown today, because, like I said, there's a lot of games coming thick and fast, and we're going to lose players, and players are going to fall out of form. Not every player can play a 10 out of 10 every game. It's impossible for that to happen. But as long as the players who are coming in, they keep up the momentum of us playing with a high intensity and still playing well, then hopefully it will set us in good stead. Go into the new year, keep it up. And, you know, when it comes to February, March, if we're still where we are, then the doubters will start to believe that we can actually win this league. I do believe it's between us and Chelsea. I still probably have Chelsea just a bit ahead of us. But at the end of the day, teams will fall out of form. Chelsea will not win every single game between now and
Carl's Christmas. Been taken by the robots. He's been exterminated by the robots.
I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's Chris. He's frozen.
Oh, sorry. Maybe it was Mick was dying. Sorry.
So, like I said, Chelsea will definitely drop points, as will we. You know, I'm not naive enough to think that we're going to win every single game. But as long as we keep playing our games and not worrying about any other team, I'm not concerned about any other team, focus on us, win our games or play to the best of our ability, then we can look at the league and hopefully we'll come out on top.
Yeah, well said, well said. Sorry, I think it was my internet, not yours, so I apologise. Ellis, any final thoughts from your good self for today?
Yeah, final thoughts on the game. I'm in a very positive mood. We haven't lost a game since the start of the season against Liverpool, makeshift back four, all those excuses, blah, blah, blah. But we've now gone on a good run. I think in previous seasons against Stoke, going 1-0 down to a penalty, losing someone early on through injury, we crumble a bit in those situations, and we haven't today. So that's the point that I wanted to make and just point out. Because I think we've grown as a team. I think we are a bit more stronger in depth. We've got players that we can bring on and affect the game. So I'm in a very positive mood. I think everyone else should sort of try and stay positive. Ride this positivity, keep this high intensity up, keep the form that we found up, keep the pace of Chelsea. I know we're top of the league now, but it's only for 24 hours until possibly Chelsea win. I know they've got West Brom, so you never know. Football can be different. We've seen Bournemouth come back from 3-1 down against Liverpool, so anything can happen. I think we've got a really good chance this season, as long as we keep our key players fit and we keep up to pace with whoever's leading at the time. The moment it's Chelsea, it could well be someone else in a few weeks' time. But just keep up the pace, keep positive, and yeah, I think we can have a good season this season. Hello?
I think Chris is either... he's gone.
Chris is gone. Hello?
Anyway, I don't know if he's back. No, he's gone. So let's wrap this up, because obviously he's got to go. So I want to thank everyone for sort of watching. You know, we're always here after every single game. We will be here after the Everton game. Definitely. I don't know who's on. Chris always arranges that. But no, thank you to everyone for watching. And always keep it ABW, as Chris's punchline says. And we will see you after the Everton game. And also remember the podcast on Thursday. And again, if you haven't listened to the podcast from the previous Thursday, please, please, please listen to it. It was one of the best ones I've listened to. And I've listened to every single one of them. But that one was absolutely brilliant. So please go and watch it.
Agreed.
or listen to it, I should say. Watch it. Having the madness. All right, guys. You take care, and I'll see everyone later. Take care.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye.
With a trick up his sleeve to pull up on you like Christopher Reeves. I can't describe the vibe I get when I drive by six people and five I hit. Aw, shit, I started a marsh pit, squashed a bitch and stomped the foster kids. These shrooms make me hallucinate, then I sweat till I start losing weight, till I see dumb shit start happening. Dumber than Vanilla Ice trying to rap again. So bounce, bounce, come on, bounce. I said, come on, bounce. Everybody in the house with a half an ounce. Not weed, I meant coke, the master down. We don't bullshit, better ask around. B12 throws the bomb, it's bash in town. Bizarre, your mom is passing out. Get her ass on the couch before she crashes out.
Fuck that, someone helped the nine. He's upstairs naked with a weapon drawn.
Hey, Vine, you see me stepping on these leprechauns?
It gotta be acid, because the X is gone.
Yeah, I took him off, dog, with some Parmesan, and I think my arm is gone.
Y'all's probably numb, young, dumb, and full of cum. And I think he about to swallow his tongue.
Scary ass, it was a false alarm. You think about to die when I just got on?
Well, stop acting stupid. You so high that you might wake up with a guy on some new shit.
Yeah, I think I did too much. This substance equals cuffs. Red pills, blue pills, and green. Big pills, masculine.
I take a couple uppers, I down a couple downers, but nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills. I've been to Mushroom Mountain once or twice, but who's counting? But nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills.
30 dozen, 80 of us, shady brothers, ladies love us. That's why our baby mothers love us, but they hate each other. They probably wanna take each other out and date each other.
Thought I was incredible and killed the hawk. I wanna roll away like a rollerblade until my eyes roll back and my skull for days. And when I'm old and gray, look for dope to smoke. No old thing dope, I'm packing my nose for coke. Am I supposed to choke? Had an accident when the chosen broke. Aw, poor baby, born by a whore lady. Now I gotta strangle and
crazy.
I pop 4 E's at one time, and I don't need water when I'm swallowing mine.
Hey, you got any shrooms?
This bizarre smoke crack. We can't get jobs because our arms show trash. Why the hell you niggas think I rap? We do it just to get your company hijacked. And if you like smack, then I might too. I just want to get high like you. And I don't give a damn if they white or blue. Speed shrooms down the volumes. Even smoke weed out of vacuums. I just cop some, and I'm going back soon.
I take a couple uppers, I down a couple downers, but nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills. I've been to Mushroom Mountain once or twice, but who's counting? But nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills.
I'm at a rave looking like a slave, high off chronic. Gin and tonic, demonic, body smell like vomit. Pussy popping, acid dropping, dope heady guy. Heroin, mescaline, pencil legs, wanna try. Blue pills, golden seals, got bizarre. You know you want it in your butt, I put it in your cut. Lepers are not.
I take a couple uppers, I down a couple downers, but nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills. I've been to Mushroom Mountain once or twice, but who's counting? But nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills.
30 dozen, 80 of us, shady brothers, ladies love us. That's why our baby mothers love us, but they hate each other. They probably wanna take each other out and date each other.